What an honor and privilege to be back to Love Assembly. If not of COVID, I'm supposed to be physically present in Liverpool now. Yes. But thank God for technology and thank God for how he makes all things beautiful in their season.
Mm.
You know, I've been meditating recently on Christmas and all the celebrations taking place, all the joy, people exchange gifts, and I mean, it's a time of celebration. People on vacation or holidays, workers are happy, kids are happy, adults are happy. And I began to think, I said, but we are happy celebrating the birth of Jesus. But the one who gave birth to Jesus, was she really happy on that day Jesus was born?
Mm.
We have places to sleep, food to eat. But to Mary, the story was different. And so this morning, I want to, I'll be back in the evening I can't wait for the evening service. And this morning, I just want to ask us, do we know the cost of Christmas? The cost of Christmas. That's the title of my message, the cost of Christmas.
Mm.
If we celebrate Christmas today, if you hear some background music, don't get distracted. My choir is rehearsing, so they know that. So in fact, one of them asked me to apologize and to tell them, if you hear music, just please, they are sorry for that. I said, okay.
No, we are all together, sir. So, all together.
So, yeah. So the cost of Christmas, and that will take me to Luke's Gospel, which I'll read from the New King James Version. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. I'll read from let me just pick a couple of verses. Let me start from verse 26. It says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, a spouse or engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. The angel spoke to Mary and then gave Mary an instruction. It says, behold, verse 31, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. I like that. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. Then the angel, in communication with Mary, had some issues because Mary had to understand clearly what the angel was trying to say. So Mary said, in verse 34, she said, then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know no man? I'm a virgin. I don't know a man. So how will I get pregnant? And the angel said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and that is how you get pregnant. And then verse 37, now the angel said to Mary, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. I don't know if there's someone listening to me this morning. It's not my message, but I feel I should tell someone this morning that Luke chapter 1 verse 37 is God's instruction to you this morning. Now, I don't know who that person is. It says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And when God speaks like this, of course, I've deviated. So you have to be sensitive in the spirit. I've just deviated because God wants to minister to someone. It is usually when you are going through an impossible situation. There's a difference between a difficult situation and an impossible situation. A difficult situation is a situation where things will work out, but it will be stressful. It will take in a lot of energy to make it happen. Impossible means it doesn't matter the energy you put in, nothing will happen. Mm. And there are situations like that, that they will defy every form of prayer or energy or whatever you try to do. But that's the type of situation I hear in my spirit someone is this morning.
Mm.
It is for with God. In other words, God is saying to you, just trust him. He will make that impossible situation to turn around.
Mm. Amen.
That's a very specific word for someone. Like I said, I just deviated. That's not part of my message because I'm talking about the cost of Christmas. So, but I feel someone needs to hear this. That person is in a very difficult, is again, not difficult, in a, in an impossible situation. How would you know it's impossible? You yourself, you know that there's no way to come out of this. But I want to let you know, God says to you this morning, with him, that situation will turn around. Yeah. You will celebrate. You will give a testimony. So let me go back to my sermon. So verse 38 now. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed. It is strange that the angel did not depart until Mary accepted the word. The angel now has to take Mary's response back to heaven so that heaven can now initiate the process of the manifestation. In other words, one of the ways you dispatch your angels is by accepting what God has told you. The more you argue with God, the more you delay angelic release. The more you argue with God, the more you slow down the time of your manifestation. The more you argue with God, the more you slow down the breakthrough he's already ordained for you. So Mary said, be it unto me according to whatever you want to do. Now, but watch this. When I read this story again, you know what touched me? What touched me was the cost Mary had to pay for Jesus to be born. So if we have Christmas today, of course, we know Jesus was born on the 25th, right? But it's a symbolic day to celebrate his birth. That's fine. For those who criticize Christmas, okay, he was born. But even the queen has two birthdays. We don't criticize the other one because that wasn't her birthday. So let's leave all of that for a while. But we know he was born, so people celebrate it. Whatever the case, we call it Christmas. Fine. Do you know what it cost Mary for us to celebrate Christmas? And I ask this question, if Mary were like some of us, would there be a Christmas? Let me put it in another way. If Joseph was like some of us, would there be a Christmas? If you and I, okay, let me put it the other way. If Mary and Joseph obeyed God the way you and I obey God today, would there be a Christmas? Because when I look at the cost Mary paid for Christmas, which had to do with the purpose of God for her life, God spoke to her, she accepted, God said you will get pregnant. The first thing is, when Mary said yes to the angel, there are many other things she said yes to indirectly. She lives in a culture whereby if you get pregnant without the official marriage, they will stone you for adultery. So, when Mary said yes, Lord, knowing she was going to get pregnant, what was she thinking about the shame, the rejection? She must have factored all of that, counted the cost before saying yes. She is a young girl. Every young girl wants to get married. Mary must have already had a dream of the type of wedding dress, the size of the bridal train, the kind of food to cook, and the photograph, I mean, all of that was in the plan. When she said yes to the angel, are you aware that by saying yes to the angel, Mary was at the same time saying goodbye to my marriage? And that's what actually happened before God intervened. Joseph told her, it's over. How many of us today can forego getting married to accomplish God's purpose? It's a very difficult thing. When Mary said, yes, Lord, she was saying goodbye to my beautiful shape. When Mary said, yes, Lord, she was saying, welcome to my stretch marks. Well, the price Mary paid, that's why I said the cost of Christmas. The reason I'm saying this message is I want us to regain the value for the things of the kingdom. Because the more wickedness increases upon the earth, 2 weeks ago I preached a sermon, it says, because wickedness will increase, the love of many people will wax cold. And one version says, the love for God and for man will wax cold. So you can realize that as we progress in life, two things are happening. Our love for God is dying. And our love for our fellow man is also what? Dying. And so we constantly need sermons or messages, however you call it, that remind us. Otherwise, we will gradually deviate and we will not even notice it. Because when you read that verse, it says, because of the increase in wickedness, the love of most believers will grow cold. They are still believers. Oh, yeah, they're going to heaven. But their love is growing cold. And so, what I'm sharing this morning, it's more like something to stir your faith, to remind you that if you are the type who sacrifices for God, if you are the type who has made God your priority, if you are the type who values nothing else more than God, this morning, I'm here to encourage you, to tell you, keep up. And if you are the type who would have said no to the angel so as to get married, no to the angel so as not to develop stretch marks, no to the angel so society doesn't laugh at you, so that if you're that type, you can start asking yourself, what is the purpose and value of being a Christian? And that's why I asked before, if Mary was like you, sister, will there be Jesus upon the earth? If Joseph was like you, brother, would there be Jesus upon the earth? You know, so many things are happening all over the world now. And the more I'm beginning to feel like there's too much preaching going on in the world. Too much preaching, to the point that a lot of preaching now is beginning to irritate me. The reason I say that is that it's become monotonous. That's, people are hearing the same thing, and nothing is changing. Mm. And my question is, has something gone wrong and we are not picking it? Because if all the preachings people listen to were really working, no, we'll not be where we are today. No. There are more preachers on the earth now than has ever been in church history. But yet the church is weakest upon the earth now than has ever been in church history. So there's something that is not right. Something is not right. Or could it just be that we have become psychological expounders of biblical texts? That means we are experts in psychology and communication. Then we just add verses in it and throw out to people. Could it be possible that when we preach, people get excited in their minds, but deep down, it is not transforming their hearts? I don't know. I'm just asking. How can it be that people will go to church, go to a conference, go to a seminar, whatever, and their life is not transformed? I don't understand. At times, it has nothing to do with the preacher. It can still be the heart of the people. Remember the parable of the sower? It says the seed was the word of God, and the soil was the heart. Some hearts are wayside hearts. So no matter how hard you preach, the birds of the air, that's demonic forces. They'll just come and steal the word away. They can sit in church. You finish preaching powerfully. They say amen. The moment they step out, 2 days after, they can't remember anything. The birds of the air have taken it away. Some people's hearts are like the rocky hearts. They get excited until a little pressure or persecution arises. That's the end about them and God. The same person that was singing hallelujah, see him 2 days later. The person will be like, that church thing doesn't work. Same person. Another type of heart is the thorny heart. It has thorns. That means when the word, the seed was growing, the thorns grew and choked the word. And Jesus says those thorns are what? The pleasures of life. This type of Christians, you can preach powerfully. They accept it. the issue, the danger with the Christian whose heart is the thorn is that he accepts everything you preach. He likes it. He applies it, but he's too distracted. He's too distracted. The distractions of life, they choke the word so it doesn't produce fruit. So the word of God in their lives will grow. They will not produce fruit. At least it grew, but it was choked. Then you have the person now on good soil. So in other words, there are times that in the work of the kingdom, the problem is the preaching, where the preacher is not sowing the right seed. If you sow the wrong seed on the good soil, it won't germinate because something is wrong with the seed.
Yep.
There are times that the seed has a problem. And that has to do with the kind of preaching. People preach what they say, what they emphasize, what the gospel has become today. You know, fine. Also, you have a situation where it is not the seed, but it is the soil. So it's a two-way thing. There are times that the problem is not the preacher. It is the heart of the people.
Mm-hmm.
That is not allowing the word to grow. And at other times, the people can be hungry. Their hearts want to grow, but they are not being fed. That's why Jesus told Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Jesus knows that it is possible for the preacher not to be feeding the sheep. Mm. He knows.
Mm.
He knows. That's why he says, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. You love me, feed my sheep. And it often amazes me why teaching is not a priority in the church. When Jesus kept saying, teach, teach, teach. In the Old Testament, scripture says that one of the ways a nation is cursed is that they will not have teaching priests.
Mm.
Teaching ministry is about to be extinct. When we're growing up in the gospel, and when we were preaching, especially in the early 90s, when we started preaching, there were so many Bible teachers all over the world in the early 90s. I used to learn from some of them. I used to listen to their messages to preach it. But when I look at our world today, I'm trying hard to actually identify major Bible teachers. And maybe the issue that people don't know the Bible teacher and a preacher and an exhorter and all the like, but I mean, put out, you sit under them or you listen to their teaching or to their tape and your spirit is fed. Not your spirit is not excited. You will know you have been fed. I'm afraid that Bible teachers are very few now. I'm afraid. Because if that continues, then what happens? Because the church can never be more healthy than the type of food that is being fed.
Mm.
It's not possible. Do you actually know that the state of the church is a reflection of the spiritual diet that the church is eating?
Mm-hmm.
You can never be better than what you hear. It's not possible. Mm. You cannot, because words are like seeds. They impregnate your spirit. So we are reproducing according to the pregnancy in our spirit that comes through the word of God. So if we are impregnated with defective words, the same way if you impregnate a woman with a defective sperm, the child will come out with defects. It's the same thing. To the point now that I sincerely think when Satan looks at the church, he's laughing. But that is laughter will not stay for long. Because God is bringing a revival that has never been seen or experienced in this world before. So when I say things like this, especially this morning, is that I want us to recalibrate, to just put some things in order, to restructure some things and begin to believe God for something new. When you go back to the story I was reading, the story of Mary, Mary is a very beautiful girl. Mary is an amazing young virgin. God has spoken to her. She has accepted. She's counted the cost. It's going to cost her her life. It's going to cost her her shape. It's going to cost her the smoothness of her tummy. Like I told you, stretch marks will come out there. Everything about Mary will change. She will no longer be that young, youthful, you know. It will come with a stigma. She knew that. But then, what Joseph also did a lot of people don't see. You know, when it's Christmas, they celebrate Mary a lot. Mary, born child, Jesus Christ. Nobody talks about Joseph. I want to assure you, Joseph could have frustrated the plan of God.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, even God knew. That's why God had to intervene. And look at the cost for Christmas on Joseph's life. A young man has kept himself pure, identified his beautiful virgin wife, about to start a family. And one day this woman comes and says, God spoke to me. So my question is, if Mary was your wife, would you have believed her? Because Mary comes and says, hey, Joseph, I'm pregnant. Joseph is a good man. Scripture says he's a good man. So Joseph doesn't want to put Mary to shame. That's what scripture says. So Joseph said, okay, Mary, we need to do this privately because I love you. But then at least you can tell me who got you pregnant. Mary said, Joseph, I'm still a virgin. You know what Joseph did? I would have done the same. You as well, as a man. You leave it and revisit the topic the next day. Because maybe, I don't know if Mary has started drinking something. Just leave it. Because how can you say you're pregnant and you didn't sleep with a man? You see, the problem we don't understand is God has a way of doing things that if you're not sensitive, you can actually fight against the plan of God and you will think that you're defending God.
That's right.
Because Joseph wanted to put her away, which is what is written in the law. So in Joseph's mind, he's trying to follow the law of God.
Mm.
But that thing he's trying to do is actually going against the plan and purpose of God. Because, and you see later how God connected the dots to Joseph to understand. Because now Joseph says, okay, Mary, all you need to do, just tell me who is responsible. And that's it. I'll forgive you, and then we can separate. And I'll not tell the people what happened. They will just assume that it is me that got you pregnant. Mm. If you just tell me the truth, that's it. Mary said, Joseph, I have not been touched by any man. Don't you think Joseph got angry? Joseph looked at Mary and says, Mary, I knew you as a serious Christian. Well, Christian now. They didn't call them Christians. Let's say God-fearing woman. I knew you as a God-fearing woman. When did you start telling lies, Mary? Can you understand that to Joseph, Mary was lying? Yeah. You know, at times when we read the Bible, we are quick, so we don't pause. The woman is pregnant and telling you, okay, you are a man, married or you're single, assume that you get married and your wife comes to the pregnancy and you guys haven't yet slept and she tells you, I'm pregnant but no man touched me. What would you do? You will book a special appointment with Pastor Fola because there is no way you can believe that story. It's not possible. You will tell the pastor that your wife has started lying. You never knew your wife could lie like this. I don't know what has come over my wife. Can you imagine something is clear like that? She's still lying. I've even told her that she should just tell me the truth so I can cover it. She keeps telling lies. And then Joseph will now go and start doing deliverance prayer for the spirit of lying to leave the life of Mary. Mm. That's what Joseph would do. If Joseph were to give you a prayer point, what would the prayer point be? That the spirit of lying has possessed my wife. And he is sincere. You can't blame him. Now, guess what happened? This story is so touching. Joseph now said, enough is enough. So he was planning to send Mary away the next day. So he slept that night. Guess what happened that night? An angel, God, spoke to Joseph. And says, Joseph, what your wife is saying is true. She's pregnant for me in terms of I want to use her to bring forth the Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, as soon as Joseph heard that voice, all the quarreling stopped. Now, because what was happening is, the voice Mary heard before was not the same voice Joseph was hearing. So they kept clashing and quarreling. Right? God spoke to Mary, you get pregnant. But that voice hadn't been given to Joseph. So they were not on the same frequency in terms of the voice of God they were hearing. The moment Joseph heard the same voice Mary heard, the quarreling stopped. So can I submit to you that at times, couples quarrel because they hear two different voices?
Very true. Very true.
And can you imagine how sincere Joseph was that he was right? She has slept with another man. She's telling me a lie. You know that to Joseph, that was true. You can't convince him. On the other side, to Mary, I didn't sleep with another man. Can you imagine that both of them knew they were speaking the truth? You see how people clash?
Yeah.
Counselor cannot help because they will knock heads. But the moment the same voice that spoke to Mary spoke to Joseph, you did not need to pray for Joseph. Oh, God, change my husband. Oh, God, change my wife. No, just ask God to speak to them. That is why, you see, I let me say this. I don't know who I'm talking to. Out of all the qualities of a husband you look for, Pastor Fola has taught you all of that before, right? Two of them is this. Look for a good man. Scripture says, Joseph did not want to expose Mary because he was a good man. Look for a good man. The things at times, our criteria are crazy. Number two, Joseph could hear God when God spoke to him. For a man who can hear God.
That's right.
So when you say some of these things, they are so casual that people don't really pick them. Because if Joseph could not hear God, he would have destroyed the plan of God on Mary's life. If he had put away Mary and exposed her to the law of stoning by adultery and destroyed her social foundation in the land, that would have been the end of Mary. Can you see that Joseph could have frustrated the plan of God if he had not the ability to hear God? When you have a husband who cannot hear God, he will frustrate your life. I even say he can destroy God's plan on your life. Let me reverse it. If you have a wife who cannot hear God, may I submit to you that that woman can destroy God's calling upon your life. It is so important we understand these things and begin to look at it in a different way. When the angel now spoke to Joseph, scripture now says, Joseph did not touch his wife until after Jesus was born. It's there in your Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, imagine Joseph. He's kept himself. He has been dreaming of when he will get married. And when it was time, God said, you know what? You won't touch her for 9 months. Ask any married man or any newlywed that they told, don't touch your wife or your husband for 9 months. Do you know how much sacrifice it takes? Joseph is in the same house with Mary. She just got pregnant. So it's not like the tummy is big. She's still looking sexy, like they say in quotes. I put that word in quotes. She's still looking beautiful. She's still looking attractive. Everything is, but thou shalt not touch. Even when Joseph feels the pressure, he wants to make an advance. The voice tells him, don't touch. He will withdraw. Yet, he will not complain about God. Yet, he will not say, God has taken what belongs to me. That's the cost it takes for Jesus to be born. That's the cost it takes that Joseph had to pay. He didn't touch. For 9 good months. He didn't. Because Joseph said, I will not allow my passion or my sexual desire interfere with the plan and purpose of God. I would hold myself. I will starve my convenience. I will starve my desire, because I need God's plan and purpose to come to pass. Jesus was born. The price for Mary and Joseph was a heavy price. It was. You don't see Mary angry at God. You don't see Joseph angry at God. They just accepted. My prayer for this generation is, look at the kind of thing God told Mary to do. Young virgin, and she accepted. And the time Mary said yes, you know what? She didn't know God to speak to Joseph. So in her mind, Mary was saying, if I lose the marriage, I lose it, but I must obey God. Because she didn't know Joseph was going to accept later. So at the point she was saying yes to the angel, what was Mary thinking? How would you face society? How would you face Joseph? She counted the cost. For Jesus to be born, for us to celebrate Christmas, oh, ladies and gentlemen, Mary paid a huge price. She did. And then you look at us today. One little thing, God will ask you, contribute £500 into a project. You're angry. £500. Mary gave her womb and stretch marks for the rest of her life. Joseph didn't touch for 9 months, and £500 makes you angry. Something is not right. If Joseph was like you and I, would Jesus have been born? If Mary was like you and I, would Jesus have been born? The least demand God places on people's lives nowadays, they just get angry, they complain, they won't even do it. The kingdom of God is being stressed, churches are being stressed, pastors are stressing, things are stressing. Nobody wants to pay the price. But yet everybody's talking Jesus. The Jesus you celebrate cost Mary. Before that Jesus even came, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It cost God something precious for the world to be saved. His only begotten son. He gave his best. He didn't give an alternative. God didn't have 2-3 sons and gave one. He gave the only one he had. It cost God something for Christmas. It cost Mary something for Christmas. It cost Joseph something for us to celebrate Christmas. So my question is, what has it cost you? Or what is it costing you right now for the gospel to be celebrated to the four corners of the earth? What is the cost, even for your local assembly, to keep functioning? What is the cost? What is the cost on your life for your man of God or woman of God or pastor? What cost is it that you incur for them to carry that gospel and propagate it? What cost? I think that if we, and you see, let me say something. God, at times, God doesn't waste resources. Because God in particular, let me tell you something about God. He doesn't like taking no for an answer. Because God doesn't like telling you to do something and you don't do it. And so a lot of times, God will always try to make sure he speaks to people who can obey. Do you know, God knew Mary would obey. Joseph would obey. That's why he channeled the thing. Isaiah 7:14 says, a virgin shall conceive. He did not put Mary's name on it. There were many virgins in Israel. Why Mary?
That's right.
God knows. Some of them, they would have rejected. They would say, I cannot, please, my sheep. No. My fiancé, you don't want to spoil my wedding. God knows. Is it possible that there are so many things God is not telling you because he already knows you will not obey? That's why he doesn't even bother. Yeah. Because if you develop, you see, God wants to reveal secrets to us. There's so much God wants us to know. can he trust you with the mysteries of the kingdom? If you only knew, if you only knew the abundant resources, the abundant revelation God has for us. But he needs to communicate that to you. He needs to communicate that to you. But are we ready to pay that price, the cost? I could have still titled this message, The Cost of Salvation. But because it's Christmas season, I just said the cost of Christmas. If you are some of us, as once we get the pregnancy, maybe we're even praying that Joseph will understand. As soon as Joseph started questioning and rejecting the thing, some of us will not have even allowed God to speak to Joseph. We'll just go and abort the baby. You say, well, if it is God, why is Joseph resisting me? Joseph resisted until God spoke to him. And you see, this is what I want to say. What Mary, and I'm going to conclude on that. Oh, Lord, this is powerful. What Mary was telling Joseph, says, Joseph, I'm pregnant. Now, Joseph said, you're not telling me the truth. Okay, if you're pregnant, can you show me any verse in the Bible which says that the Holy Ghost gets women pregnant? You know, Mary had no biblical reference for no, what she was hearing. There was no precedent.
That's right.
A lot of times we think that we must look to the past to know what God is saying in the present. In some cases, God can speak to you things he has never spoken before. And so, to Joseph, I need evidence of something like this that happened in the past. You know, it was the same with Noah. When God told Noah it was going to rain, it had never rained before. And so the people resisting Noah said, but Noah, you claim this thing will happen. Show us in the history of mankind where rain ever fell upon the earth. Noah couldn't prove it, but Noah knew he had God. Mary cannot prove it from history, but Mary knows she heard God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're entering a season that God will begin to speak things to us that have never happened before. There are songs God will deposit in some of our spirits that have never been deposited before. There are worship, there are praises. I can even extend it. There are business ideas God will deposit. You go to the bank will say, but who does this type of business? And you don't have any reference. They'll look all over the nation, nobody does that kind of business, and they'll reject your business plan until God will release it. In other words, there are businesses God will speak in this season that have never existed before. There are things God will show you that he's never shown a human being before. There are things you will hear that no man has ever heard before. I strongly believe that we are entering a season of, I don't know how to define this because I see it in the spirit, but I don't have the English words to explain it. Mary knows what she heard, but she can't tell you, I have a reference in history. She can't. That's why you must be very careful with school academics, because you must never allow academics to define the totality of your mental power. Because even when you write research papers, I'm writing a book now, I finished the draft, my next book, and I did a lot of referencing in the book, but I also go out of the box, because otherwise you write the book and everything in the book is what other people have said. You reference articles, reference journals, reference. That's what they said. What is your independent creative thought process? Why must you do that type of business the way it's always been done? Where is your own independent creative input into that business? What Mary heard, she cannot prove it scientifically.
That's right.
She cannot prove it sociologically. She can't. but she knows what she heard. And God took that thing and spoke to Joseph. So this is where I conclude. And it's a prayer point. Pray that the type of vision and the voice of God you're hearing, that God will take that same message and speak it to the people that ought to be your partners. Oh, this is a very heavy one. Oh, God. Pray that what you're hearing, God will speak it to the people associating with you.
Amen.
That is how you create unity in the spirit.
Amen.
Unity in the spirit is not that two individuals agree on something. No. It's that two individuals are hearing the same words. Pray. Whoever will be your friend in life, they'll be hearing the same voice you're hearing. So when God speaks to you, God will speak to them. So that when they come around you, they know what God wants you to do. They can help you to accomplish it. If people come in your life and you feel God is calling you in Liverpool and the people think God is calling you to Manchester, there'll be a clash because they'll be showing you all the reasons why Manchester is better than Liverpool. I'm just using that kind of example to explain myself. Same thing. It is my prayer in this season as I close that we will pay the price for this gospel. Whatever it will cost you, pay it. You belong to a local assembly, pay the price for that assembly to grow and to prosper. You are connected to a man of God's life, pay the price for that man of God to grow and prosper. You're connected to a community, to the body of Christ, whatever you are in any domain. You are into music, into entertainment, into sports, into academics, into business, whatever it is. Use that particular giftings of God to further the purpose of God in the kingdom. Let us together count the cost and pay that cost. Today, Mary is a great woman. You go to heaven, great woman. See Joseph, he wasn't even a preacher, but I can assure you, the reward of Joseph in heaven will far more outweigh that of so many great preachers you know. He wasn't even a preacher. Because at the end of the day, it is not preacher or not preacher that matters. It is the accomplishing of God's plan.
That's right.
And purpose.
That's right.
If the plan and purpose is true preaching, like for some of us, then let us preach faithfully. But you see, God rewards faithfulness, not calling. When he says, welcome thou good and faithful servant. So God calls me to preach. He's not going to reward me as a preacher. No, he's going to reward me as my faithfulness in the preaching. For you, we call to do business. He will reward you for your faithfulness in business. If your faithfulness in doing business for the glory of God is more than my faithfulness in preaching, even if I grew the largest church, your reward will be higher than mine. Jesus said, welcome thou good and faithful servant. He didn't say good and faithful preacher. No, servant. So wherever God has called you to serve him in whatever capacity, be faithful. The most difficult thing to do upon the earth is to be faithful. And I say as a preacher, to be a faithful preacher, to stay faithful to God's word, my goodness, I told some of them, that's the most difficult thing. What? To stay faithful in anything? To stay faithful to one wife, to one husband, to stay faithful in the church, to stay faithful in the life of your children. You don't know. Faithfulness? To stay faithful in your giving in church? You know what it means? You're a faithful giver. Faithfulness is God rewards faithfulness. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.
May the Lord make his face shine upon you.
Amen.
May the Lord be gracious unto you.
Amen.
And may the Lord grant you peace. I'll be back at 5 p.m. Whatever you're doing, don't miss out 5 p.m. because I'll be talking on how to avoid distractions.
Come on.
It is a dangerous piece. I tell you, it is. Ooh. Anyway, I'll see you at 5 p.m. God bless you. Over to you, Pastor. Thank you again for the opportunity.
Thank you,
Auntie Wuda. Thank you for everything. God bless you, sir. And I think our time is up.